Okay, so we left off in the previous shiur. We were talking about this major machlokes in the Gemara, the Rishonim, about Reicha Milsa, Reicha Lam Milsa, and then we came to the realization that there are some cases where everybody agrees Reicha is Lam Milsa, and some cases everyone agrees Reicha is Milsa. So we rattled off a few of the cases where the Gemara seems to minimize the significance of Reich. We spoke about the possibility of the base Kederos and how that plays out for us. As an extension of these ideas that you see from the Gemara, that we don't have such a serious concentration of Reach, so that maybe Mutl Chaladeah, so the Rishayim start to develop this idea that maybe the size of the oven should play a role also. So they start talking about a Tana Gadol and a Tana Katan, and then they start to give you Cheshbonos. I wouldn't know how to measure a Sronim. I couldn't tell you exactly the size of the oven, but you have a whole idea in Rishayim that maybe if the oven's so big, and you have a piece of meat over here and a sippet over there, so maybe the reich doesn't spread altogether. So that also becomes a potentially mitigating factor. So we had again a whole list of different things that could potentially mitigate reich. We saw the Gemara talked about if everything is weak and then nothing's really shmaltzi altogether, and then we saw some of the nuances of that, and then we spoke about in terms of things are base kedera, so if things are covered, or if things are different compartments in the oven, you have big ovens, these are all possible mitigating factors. On the other hand, the Gemara has the possibility that sometimes everybody concedes that there's a problem with Reach. And here the Gemara, I think this is the last case we spoke about, but the Gemara starts talking about a case of Reach. If you have a barrel of highly concentrated truma wine or something, you put your bread on top of it, the Reach is going to go from one to another, whole story. So the Gemara gives us this idea that if things are very, very highly concentrated, so then maybe everyone's going to subscribe to the fact that Reicha is in fact the Milsa. Then you have the Rishonim start adding on other cases where Reach becomes more potentially more complicated. So one of the issues that the Rambam makes reference to is the question of Reach vis-a-vis Chametz and Pesach. And maybe even if you want to be a little bit more makel about Reach and Kol Tarkula, Chametz and Pesach is going to spell a problem. Why should Chametz and Pesach be a problem? So this of course brings us back to our the issue that we spoke about on Sunday, namely what's pshat in Reicha Lav Milsa. According to that opinion, the Reicha Lav Milsa, what's pshat? So does Reicha Lav Milsa mean that it doesn't exist? There's nothing, just not here. Halacha does not misyachis to Reach. Well, no, does Reicha Lav Milsa mean that it exists, but it's such an insignificant amount that we can invoke the principle of bittel? So we already saw that. Who's the one who really brought that up explicitly? The Ran, right? The Ran brought that up with Asa Rif. Remember the Rif suggested. The Rif suggested that even if you hold the Reicha Lav Milsa, but by the case of the milchik and the bread, the bread together with the fleshes in the oven, so everyone would hold that's a problem. So one of the biurim that the Rif gave was because it's like a davar sheyesh matir. And again, whether that is davar sheyesh or not davar sheyesh, that's subject to the different Ran's opinions. But the Rif bikaron held that whenever you deal with Reicha Milsa, Reicha Lav Milsa, you're really talking about a lashon of bittel. And whatever things are not batel, so then there's no issue, then there's not going to be any heter of Reicha Lav Milsa. So that's already a red flag, says the Rambam Hilchos Chametz. Because Hilchos Chametz, we all know, we should all know by now, that Chametz is never going to be batel. We all know, it's not batel by Mimino, by Mishenu Mino. Why is it not batel? Little Chazara, let's always use this for opportunity for Chazara. What are the different reasons? Why is Chametz not batel? Either because it's Chametz or Chametz, or Davashesh Matirin, or some Rishonim said it is batel, but according to the regular standard views that it's not batel, so the Rambam says the corollary may be that Reicha would be Milsa when it comes to Chametz. We had a similar type of Vishayla, I think we spoke about a similar kind of Vishayla, where we have a certain heter, and we're not quite sure why it's mutter. Is it mutter based on the fact that it's batel, or is it mutter based on the fact that it doesn't exist altogether? And it was a similar nafkamina vis-a-vis Chametz and Pesach. Anyone remember the case? With the Sugars of Nois and Tam. Well, we spoke about it. About Nos and Tam of Gan by Chametz. Did we talk about it? We didn't talk about the whole year about Nos and Tam of Gan by Chametz. Oh, so that's the 2 days. Machlokes and Rishonim. Let's say I cook kosher Pesach food in a Chametz tikka pot. What's the din? So normally, if something is Nos and Tam of Gan, so it's food, but the other is going to be kosher. So some of the Rishonim say, no, that's a problem. If a Chametz and Pesach, that's a problem. Why? Because some Rishonim seem to learn that Nos and Tam of Gan, not that it doesn't exist, Bechlal. Tam is there, whether it's Tam of Shvach, Tam of Gam, Tam is there. The only thing is that when the Tam is not the Tam of Gam, so we can ignore it. Not that we ignore it doesn't exist, but we can say it's like a kilu, it's bottle. A Tam that's the Shvach, you can't ignore it, you can't say it's bottle. But a Tam of Gam has the status of being a bottle. If that's the case, that the whole head of Nesetam of Gam is predicated like a type of a Bidl Halacha, so then some of the Rishonim say that's going to pose a problem when it comes to Chametz with Pesach. And other Rishonim say, no, other Rishonim say, the Nesetam of Gam is not Mutter because it's Batel, Those in Tamas Gam is mutter because that's not a Tam Sha'asa Torah. It's not in the Velish Rule of Gair. If it's not Rule of Gair, the Chlal's nothing. It doesn't exist. It's not mutter because it's Asa B'Botel. It's mutter because it doesn't exist altogether. If that would be the case, then it would be mutter even comes to Pesach. That's the big Machlaikas of Rishonim. It's Machlaikas in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is Maker on the Shah. The Shulchan Aruch holds that a Nasa Tam of Gam Heter applies even by Pesach. And there are more quotes that there are some places that were Machlaikas about this. The later poskimah, it's tolefi minig hamakomas. I think I'm minig is to be machmir. If somebody asks you a shayla in Pesach, by mistake, they cooked with a chomesh tikapa, so we have to ask the food b'diavad. I get the shayla. We got a shayla this year. We get the shaylas all the time. The guy made a mistake. Took out, opened up his drawer with a, took out a chomesh spoon or something, took out his chomesh pot and cooked something in it. And obviously the pot hasn't been used in the last one, it hasn't been used in a week. But afal b'chein, according to this chumra of the Ramah quotes, and Nosa Tam of Gam doesn't apply to Chometz Pesach because Nosa Tam of Gam is also rooted in the dinim of Bittel. Polskin points out, well, let's say it happened from before Pesach, then it would for sure be okay, because even though we're machmir on there's no Bittel of Chometz Pesach, but if it was nispatel from before Pesach, then we hold it's all right. So we also have this child's happens. This happens even more common. The person is starting, you know, they kasher the kitchen for Pesach, so they're already cooking. But the problem is that they haven't totally kashered the whole house. So they still have chametz stuff in another room. They have pots still floating around. They haven't locked up all the closets yet. They're in the middle of cooking. They yank out a chametz stick spoon and start stirring some food on the fire in a kosher Pesach pot. So if the spoon is a ben yomo, then there'd be a problem. If the spoon is an ein ben yomo, so then even according to the mechmir mechametz of Pesach, we could be made because the tarovas happened from before Pesach. A couple of years ago, I gave a Shabbos Hagadol drush was about this very topic. I started off with there was a famous story that happened one of my early years of in NCSY Shilas. It was the famous Kansas City Shilas. If I heard it 100 times, no? Never heard it? Anyone's ever been in any of the Yachikala? Never heard this? He used to introduce me with this story for the first 5 years. Every time they told the same story. Okay. I got bored of the story. The story started from there was this girl years ago who called from Kansas City that she was just first becoming from. And she was supposed to go with her parents or grandparents' house for Thanksgiving. And she had worked so hard to make sure that everything was going to be kosher. She was going to get kosher turkey and kosher. So everything was, she worked, mom was bent over backwards. And then one thing she had forgot to tell them that you're not allowed to cook things in non-kosher pots. So all the beautiful, wonderful kosher food was cooked in non-kosher pots. So the girl called up hysterical. She called somebody who ended up calling me. Now what do I do? Here I made such a fuss about everything. Everything's all... So I said, we have a klal. What's the klal? Stam kem ben yamin. I said, that's the din. Stam kem ben yamin. So therefore we can assume that everything was probably in the ben yamin. And did he have it? All the food is kosher. So that became like the hero of the day. So once they introduced me, I said, so let's be careful. This unbelievable newfangled klal gremlin. I opened up the Shulchan Aruch and I just read what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Stam kem ben yamin. So I started off my Shia Shabbos a few years ago by saying that, imagine if this would have happened on Pesach. Imagine if this girl would have called me that she worked so hard to get all the food to kosher Pesach and they used all the chametz tikka pots. What would have been? Would I have been such a big hero or not? So I said, now we have to learn the sugya. So we discussed the whole sugya about Nosin Tam of Gam. And those Tam of Gam did a bittel, not did a bittel, the whole 9 yards. But anyway, it's the same shaila here. It's the same issue that the Ramah is raising here, is that Reicha Lav Milsa may not mean it doesn't exist. Reicha Lav Milsa may mean that it's a din of bittel. It's a din of bittel. So then it's a din of bittel that's going to be subject to a problem on Chametz Pesach. So we have, when we approach the sugya of Reicha Milsa, it's hard for us to say that it's totally also totally mutter. We have so many different mitigating factors. Then there throws another curveball at us, that we know there's something that sometimes changes the regular rules of Taroides. What's that? The two words that we don't like the most in Yerodea. What is that called? Davacharif. You see the words Davacharif, we see red. So we've already learned, I think it was even a question on, what was the question, one of the Bechinas or something? One of the Makeup Bechinas or something? No, about all the things that, did anyone take the Makeup Bechina yet? Anyone supposed to take the Makeup Bechina? Okay, so we'll tell you what the question was. The question was something along the lines, tell me all the rules in Yerodea that change when you have a Davacharif. What do we have? Who remembers? What changed in your idea with the Bechorif? So Ein Ben Yomo all of a sudden becomes Ben Yomo, maybe, depending on how you learn Chilsu, right? No. That's what you meant. The same thing. It's the same thing. Right? What else happens? Not by not becomes potentially overridden, depending on how you live shot in that Gemara about Snown, right? Is Snown an issue of dirt, of filthy knives, or Snown an issue of a Devacharif? What else changes when you have Devacharif? The regular rules of Tzanim and Tzanim HaDachar, before, by the way, I said, right? When you combine a Devach Haref with a Duchta B'Sakina, according to one day in Rashi, that becomes a problem. So we have already three different potential exceptions to Devach Haref changes the rule. So the Rav writes, this may be a fourth one, that if you have a Reicha of a food that's a Devach Haref, even though under normal circumstances maybe we'll just we'll ignore Reich and say Reich LaMilsa, maybe the Devach Haref is more of a problem. Again, this is not such a far-fetched idea because we already have precedent in the Gemara that when you have highly concentrated, very, very powerful Reichas, those are problems. That's what the Gemara says by the bread on top of the barrels. So just as the Gemara says highly concentrated Reichas are a problem, and we know that Devach Harefs are considered to be almost like a highly concentrated thing, Haraya, they can change all the regular rules of Tarobes, so maybe they change the rules of Reicha Milsa as well. So we have a lot of exceptions. We have a major Machlokes in the Gemara, a major Machlokes Rishonim, whether Reicha Milsa or not, and we have exceptions on both sides of the equation. How do we paskin halacha on this whole Reicha, this whole balagan of Reicha Milsa, Reicha La Milsa? How do we paskin halacha? What's the end of this whole story? So it depends who you ask, right? So Shulchan Aruch goes along the lines of the Lechachila B'dievid version. They basically based on the riff, by the different versions of what the riff said exactly, but the basic idea that we're gonna, in our heart of hearts, we're gonna paskin that Reicha is not really Milsa, but Afal Bichay, we're not gonna go as far as Rashi to permit, because remember Rashi basically holds that Braisa was rejected. Rashi holds you can bake your bread with your meat, and you can eat the meat, you can eat not meat with the cheese, you can eat the bread with the cheese, and everything is great. Reicha La Milsa. So we're going to walk that tightrope with the riff and say, no, we're not going to do that, because it's Davashesh Matir, it's Lechachil, whatever you want to call it. So Shulchan Aruch basically, in his heart of heart, believes Reicha La Milsa, but we're not going to be matir it absolutely outright. The Ramah has what to say about this. Anyone read through the whole Ramah? Right? So how many, what did the Ramah say at the end? He said, it depends who you're asking. He says that Lechatchila, you should try to avoid all the shilas of Reicha. You should never get involved in any of these Reicha shilas. But B'dievet, Epsom Reuben, then you can be a little bit more makel. And the post can start going to town. How big the oven is, and a big oven, a little oven again. I don't know. It's hard for me to get into the nitty gritties of the size of the oven. The bottom line is, we try to avoid Reicha shilas, that's for sure. Whether we're going to ask for something B'dievet based on Reich, so that's highly questionable. Unless it's a Devach Haref that the Rabbah doesn't like, or the Chalitza the Pesach that the Rabbah doesn't like, but the mamish asa things b'di'evit based on Reicha Milsa, so that's going to be hard to do. But l'chachilu, we should run our kitchens, assuming that Reich is something that we should reckon with. We shouldn't just ignore Reich altogether. There is one last point in the Reich Sugya, which according to many Mishnayos is not really the Sugya of Reich, but since it has the words Reich in it, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. And according to some Rishonim, it is part of the same Pizman, and that is the following shaila. What's the din if a person has something that's mamish treif? There's no tarif, it's mamish treif, and he wants to smell it. What's the din? Is there an issur to smell treif of food? According to some Rishonim, that is identical shaila to Reich. I know that goes back to Rashi and Rebbeinu Tam from the first day of Reich, whether that's the sugya bastia or not. So that's a big machlokes in Rishonim. Is there an issur to smell treif of food or not? So what's the background to the shaila? Again, these are. This is assuming that something is asa b'hano. If something is mutta b'hano, so you're allowed to get hano from it, so for sure it's mutta. But even something which is asa b'hano, is smell really considered to be an expression of an isra hano on that? So much of the sugya revolves around the Gemara in the beginning of Masechus Avodah Zarah, but the Gemara talks about smelling, barm shali sereno. The Gemara talks about if you go to a store, and it's an idol store, and they have all kind of Avodah Zarah there, and the stuff smells really, really good. So you walk into a flower shop, and all these flowers, they're all tikrovis of Avodah Zarah. They're all decorating the idols, they're all brought as kabbalas to the idols, and you want to walk in and smell geshmak smell. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. That's an Isser Gomer. That's called being Nenem Avodah Zarah, which Avodah Zarah is from the Isser Hanah. That would be a problem. So Tosfos on the spot, in the beginning of Masechus Avodah Zarah, has a Shaila. Says that case that the Gemara is describing is not always the same as the Shaila that we're talking about. Because those things that the Gemara is describing are Dvarim which are Omdim L'Reach. So things which are Omdim L'Reach are significantly more problematic. Why is that? So Tosfos draws the following distinction. Tosfos says, when you go ahead and you smell something which is Omid L'Reach, so that's called Hanoh Kederach Hana'osai. When you smell something that's not Omid L'Reach, so you guys a little strange. Guy walks into McDonald's, geshmak. That's generally cheeseburgers are made to eat, assuming that they're gospel chol. Cheeseburgers are made to eat, they're not made L'Reach. Mashiach and flowers are usually used L'Reach. Tosfos says, just because Chazal said that you're not allowed to smell Dovah Osai Ba'Hanoh, Dovah Shalavah Dizara, if it's omid l'reich, doesn't necessarily mean you can't smell. If it's not omid l'reich, Because maybe we should differentiate between something which is derech and asav versus not derech and asav. Where do we have a precedent to differentiate? How do we know there's such a chiluk between derech and asav and not derech and asav? So Tosfos refers you to the Gemara in the beginnings of the second parak of Maseches Pesachim. Who's with us for Pesachim? Anyone's around with us? You know Pesachim? Nobody? Okay, so we spent a lot of time. What? Dr. Brown was okay, yes, he left. Okay. So we spent a lot of time on this. So the Gemara basically develops a klal in the second book of Pesachim that Kol Yisroel Shem Atera are only like Yaleihem if it's Kederach HaNa Asa. If you nana from something Shalom Kederach HaNa Asa, so then that's not considered to be a real bona fide Issa D'Araisa. Why is that? How did Chazal figure that out? So the Gemara doesn't call any Pasi for that. It seems to be just Pasha Asvara that when something is done Shalom Kederach, the Torah speaks to normal people. The Torah says that we spoke a lot about this last year in Shabbos, right? They do things Shalom Kederach. So the Torah says, don't do malacha. That means don't do malacha in a normal manner. You do things upside down. That's not called derech malacha. So too, the Torah says, don't eat this food. If I eat something shalai kederech, that's not considered to be normal. We spoke about this by the Chavaz Das, right, in the crazy placey, by the guy who eats chelav chai. So the Torah says, don't be nana from this davar asa banah. So if it's something which is the normal way of being nana, that's a problem. If shalai kederech and asai, then it's not a problem. So Taisus, in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, refers you to that Gemara. Then he points out that if you look carefully at that Gemara, it's not clear whether the Gemara means that Shalom Kederach is mutter, or Shalom Kederach is just not an Issah D'Araisa. Is there some kind of an Issah D'Rabbanan lurking in the background? So Taisus says, from the Gemara itself, it's hard to tell. What led Taisus to this confusion? So the Gemara tells a story about one of the Amoraim's daughter was sick. And he took some perishal orla, and it says shmeared the perishal orla on her. So the Gemara says, how can you do that? Orla is also no, what's going on? So the Gemara explains, no, it's not so terrible. One of two reasons. Either maybe it was pikuach nefesh, that's one possibility in the Gemara. But the Gemara says, nah, even if it wasn't pikuach nefesh, it was still okay, because we're shalai kederach hanasai. So the question is, what conclusion do we draw from that story? So half the post is the conclusion. One side tries to do the conclusion that you see that Shalom Kederach HaNasa is mutter. The Gemara is justifying what he did by shmearing the perishal orla. A normal thing to do with orla is to eat it or to use it for firewood or something, but to shmear a pomegranate on your skin, that's not a normal thing most people do. And the Gemara is justifying what he did because of Shalom Kederach HaNasa. So that leads us to believe Shalom Kederach HaNasa is mamish mutter. Unless you backtrack and say, no. It doesn't mean Shalom Kederach HaNasa is mutter normally. What that means is, under those very unique, extenuating circumstances, she was a chayla. True, she wasn't a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. This is the other tzad in the Gemara. She was only a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. But we know that we lift certain yisurim d'rabbanan for chaylam. We spent an awful lot of time in this last year in Shabbos, and really Yaakov. So another low-level yisurim, I'll lift it for a makam chayla, even a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. So it could be that's what the Gemara is driving here also. The Gemara says that Ravina led his daughter, shmeared the daughter with this kind of pomegranate juice or something, because with Shalom Kederach HaNasa, therefore it wasn't Asim in HaTorah, and the Yisrael the Rabbanon, if it exists, they lifted B'Macham Chayla She'en B'Sakana. But what do you see from this Gemara Pesachim? All you see is that it's not a Deraisa. You don't see that it's Mutter. You see it's maybe a Derabbanon, Mutter B'Macham Chayla, maybe it's Mutter Lagamrei. So Taizen of Arizona throws their hands up and says, we don't know what the din is. We know that to walk into a flower shop and to mamish smell flowers of Arizona, that's out of the question. To walk into a McDonald's and start to smell cheeseburgers, lechatchila, to be nana from cheeseburgers, so maybe we can hide behind Shalom Kederach HaNasa. But then Taisus backpedals and says, you know what, we're not even so sure that Shalom Kederach HaNasa is going to help us, because maybe it's a loss of a derabbanan. But then Taisus throws another curveball at us. And Taisus says, maybe there's a whole other factor involved in this sugya. Namely, the Gemara says that this is grandiose, have to call Shalom Kederach HaNasa. But this heta doesn't always apply. There are certain yisurim which are not mutter Shalom Kederach HaNasa. There is no heta of Shalom Kederach HaNasa. How do you know which yes and which no? What's the magic word? We spoke about this also earlier. There's a magic word that if that word exists in the Chumash, that spells out a heta. If that word's absent, then it spells out an issa. What was the magic word? Achila, right? The Gemara says that if you're nana from Kilei HaKerem, Shalom Kederach HaNasa, that's an issa deraisa. Why? Because the Torah never says lo sochu Kilei HaKerem. The Torah says pentikdash. The Gemara says that whenever the Issa is formulated b'lashon achila, Shalom Kederach HaNasa is mutter, because achila conjures up a certain image of a ma'isa shel achila. Achila is a normal thing most normal people eat. So if you do something, a type of hanos similar to achila, that's a problem. So when the Torah uses the word achila, that's a code phrase for saying Shalom Kederach HaNasa is all right, min haTorah. Whenever the Torah expresses the Issa in a different lashon, then there's no way of knowing. Then you have to assume that even Shalom Kederach is also as well. So the Gemara highlights two different cases which are Shalom Kederach. Two different cases where the word Achil doesn't apply. What are the two of them? One is Kilei HaKerem. What's the other one? That's the one the Gemara does talk about. The Gemara talks about Kilei HaKerem and What's the other issa that Torah never says? Los b'cholov. You heard that, right? Los b'cholov. The Torah never says lo sochlu los b'cholov. It says lo savashlu di b'cholavim al Torah Shabbat. The Tachas never uses the phrase achila. So comes the Gemara and says that whereas all other Yisurim, Orla and Shra Haniskal, and all the other Yisurim Hana, which are written by Lashon Achila, Shlakadach is Mutta Minat Torah, these two are problematic. There would be outright violations with the Raisu, Chsibu Achila. These are the only two that appear in the Gemara itself. There is another third famous one that doesn't appear in the Gemara. It appears in the Shagas Aryeh. I don't know if we spoke about it. What was the other one? Yom Kippur, Shagas Aryeh. We mentioned this, right? Right, so the Shagas Aryeh has this famous vart that on Yom Kippur, Shalai Kederach is also an Isser Derais. Because it also doesn't say the word Achil, it says Te'anu. So not everyone agrees to the Shagas Aryeh. The Rambam Tashas disagrees. The Shagas Aryeh is right. The Taka doesn't say Achila. So what's the answer? It doesn't say Achila for a very, very technical reason. Why doesn't it say Achila? Because if it would have said Achila, that would have misled us that the Shir is Kazayas. That's what the Gemara says at the end of Yuma. The Torah really wanted to say Achila. We really want to say Achila. Because it's really what you're not allowed to do in Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to be Echel in Yom Kippur. But the Torah's hands were tied. The Torah could have written Achila. If it would have written Achila, that would have given us a misrepresentation of what the Shir of Yom Kippur is. So it's Ki'ilu. I would love to be Mephi, I'd love to say Achila, but Eif Shalafar, I can't. It's impossible for me to say Lashon Achila, but it's Ki'ilu, there's a Lashon Achila here. That's what all the other Rechmarim disagree with the Shagas Aryeh would hold. So again, so we have two cases in the Gemara that are for sure, no difference whether it's Kederach or not. Those are the two non-Lashon Achilas as appeared in the Gemara. Yom Kippur is up for grabs, and now comes Tyson and says, we have another one that we're not sure what the answer is. We have a latest asafik. We're not sure whether this particular Isser is subject to the rules of Shalak and Erech being Potter, because there's a quasi achila here, or maybe these Isserim don't have achila altogether. What's that Isser? Avodah Zarah. Says Taisus, we're not sure. What's the din? The Isser being Nanami Tikrovis Avodah Zarah. Taisus is talking about the flowers in the shop, or the cheeseburger that was, the food that was brought there, Avodah Zarah. So now we want to know, can I be Nana from Avodah Zarah? I had a Talmud a couple of years ago. He used to have Tikrovis Avodah Zarah shadows all the time. Someone in his family was a little bit off, and they believed in some cult or something, and every time there was food in the house, they would put it on the table, they'd say a blessing over it, not a bracha, a blessing, and they would prepare it to the gods and to the idols, all kind of stories. So this boy called me, and he's allowed to eat the food. I said, I think it's an Isser D'oraisa. The food was brought as a gift to the Avodah Zarah. That's a very serious problem. Anyway. What? No, so that's what Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, that if a person is an Ovid of a Zohar, it doesn't mean they're a Shaita. I don't know. I mean, they probably had, everyone has psychological issues, but Rav Moshe writes, Rav Moshe is a famous Tshuva about there was once a woman who belonged to a certain sect, certain cult, that they don't go to doctors, no medicine, no hospital, no go to doctors, anything. So no great surprise, she got sick and she died. She didn't go to the doctor. So she got strep sick and she died. So now they wanted to bury her in the Jewish cemetery. So the cemetery didn't want to bury her there because it said she's another religion. She just believed in a cult. She believed in some other crazy stuff. So they don't want her to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. So they sent the shout to Moshe. So one of the people who presented the shout to Moshe said that maybe we should be down this woman like a shaita. Because anyone who doesn't believe in going to the doctor has got to be mamshe shaita. Moshe said, and a person who bows down to idols is Moshe Nishkin Shaita. There's also a Shaita. Ayah the Torah says, Yechayev Misa for Avodah Zarah. So he answers, the Targum of Shtus means the Ptur of Shtus, the insanity claim in Halacha, doesn't mean that in Adam over Avail, like Yimnichsa Baruch Shtus. So we're all Shaitim a little bit, but that's not a Ptur from Yisurim. It means you have to be someone who has a history of such deep seated psychological issues that you don't know what's going on. You don't have a concept of right and wrong. You know. Responsible for what you're doing, that's a whole different ballgame. So this person, they had a regular job, they had a family, but they also like to bow down to idols, okay? So they were crazy, but they weren't crazy. Anyway, whatever it is. So get back to the story. So Tosfos has the suffix in Avodah Zarah whether the Isra being Nenef and the Kurvus of Avodah Zarah would apply with Shalai Kederach, even on level of Derai. So why? Because Tosfos says, we're not exactly sure, does it say a Lashon Achila by the Kurvus or not? We looked at this year, back to Super States. Does it use a Lashon Achila by the Kurvus of Avodah Zarah? We're not even sure what the Makar for the Isra of the Kurvus of Avodah Zarah is. What's the Makar? Three or Machalik Zerishonim. Who remembers? This year, we spoke about it. Come on. 10, what? Who? Why? Where? So the Ramban Latar says the Isra to be Eichel Tikrovus Avodah Zarah is learned out from the Karolachov Echalta Mizivchai. The Torah says don't don't go hang out with the goyim because they're gonna bring you their food that they're offering to their gods. The korelacha v'chalta mizivcha. It's a lashon pen v'chalta mizivcha. Yeah, it sounds like a lashon achila to me, right? But it's a mother makaris. So the Rambam says a different verse. The Rambam says lo savi so beisecha lo yidach biyachem umin achirim. The Rambam says there's no lashon achila b'chlal mentioned. And Tosis got stuck right in the middle. Tosis says there is a lashon achila. It's just a very, very funny pasuk. Who remembers? It's a pasuk beferish and sefer tehillim. That's the makor for the iser of one of being nana from the kerubas of Edazar. Because it says vayoychlu ziv chemesim. So Tosis says vayoychlu. It's a lashon achila. On the other hand, what? It's in ksuvim. It's not in the chumash. Can a lashon of ksuvim count as a lashon achila? So Mekivega says he doesn't know what Tosis is talking about. He says if the Yisra would have existed in the Chumash already, and now you have a Paskin the Hillel that uses Lashon Achila, I can understand. Maybe the Paskin don't keep me mapped to the Yisra that appears in the Chumash. But he says, but there's no Paskin in the Chumash. So Pesh also Pesh hit there. The whole Makkah is this Pasuk. So why should this Pasuk, if this Pasuk is good enough to serve as a Makkah Yisra, why can't it serve as a Makkah Heter? Okay, he's not sure. So then Mekivega says he doesn't understand what we're talking about. There's not enough of a Dezerah Shaila. The Gemara says, what's the Makkah Vayachos of Chemesim? Is mace is also bana. So this is really a mace shaila. Is a mace also bana? Shloka derech and also not. What's it do? What's the answer? This is not a mace shaila. What is it? What's the mocha that a mace is also bana? I don't know a mace is also bana. It's learned out. The Tama Shamirim, the Arfa Shamas Egla Benach. It's learned out from Egla Rufa. So this just became an Egla Rufa shaila. We thought we were dealing with an Avodah Zarah shaila. Then we realized we're dealing with a mace shaila. Now we're dealing with an Egla Rufa shaila. So what's the answer? It's an Egla Rufa. Shailas, you need more and more bikiyas for these shailas. Is Egla Rufa also an Ashlo Kederach? I haven't gotten that one recently. So what do you think? So the answer is that's not an Egla Rufa shaila. That's a what? That's a Kachim shaila. Because how do you know that Egla Rufa is also? Because it says Kapel Yam Chesh Yoch, Kapark Sivak a Kachim. That's a shaila. What's the din? A Kachim also by no Shalok Kederach. That's a really good shaila. What's the answer? It's 2 days in Taizim Sachem, right? That's the answer, okay? What should that depend upon? Who was with us when we went into Sachem? Nobody? Same guys weren't here 2 minutes ago, weren't here at that also. So there's a big machlekes of Rishon. What's the mocha you're not allowed to be in the enemy kachim? He spoke about this year. What's the machlekes of Rishon? What's the mocha you can't get enough from kachim? Why not? Lama lam. I was mocking the basic big dish. Whoop-dee-doo. Why can't I get enough from it? What? Okay, I'll bring a carbon. Next. How do you know I'm not allowed to do it? Who says I'm not allowed to do it? Vishtet, I'm not allowed to be nana. I know that if I did it, I have to bring a carbon. Okay. I'll risk the carbon. Where does it say, don't be nana mikachim? What? Don't be nana mikachim. What does that mean? I'm not sure what that probably means. So it's a big machlekes of Rishonim. So, some Rishonim say that it's learned out from Lo Yachel Devaro. When you take a ned and it makes something into kachim, so then you're basically saying, I'm going to treat it as something holy to Hashem, which means I'm going to kick hands off. So when you go ahead and you eat it, you're violating your word. In other words, not an Isra Achil, not an Isra Hanoah, it's an Isra of Nedarim, it's an Isra of Lo Yachel. That's a very, very tricky mock for an Isra. Rashi says that. It's a very, very tricky mock for an Isra. Why is that tricky? If you're a little Nedarim, why is that tricky? What if I didn't take the ned there? What if you are mocked to something and I eat it? So what's the Isra of Lo Yachel? So the Machlekes, the Ram and the Ran and the Seches Nedarim about, forget about Kachim, what about Nedarim? If you take a neder, you take a neder that you're not going to be a neder from something, so you take a neder that your fruit's going to be also the olam to everybody else. And I go ahead and I eat that fruit. So why is that my problem with Yachel? I didn't take the neder. So some Rishonim say, Lo Yachel Advaroksiv, namely, I am not allowed to do anything that's machal anybody else's dibur. So the yisur lo yachal is not that I said something that wasn't kept. If I cause a dibur to become a chulol, that's also called the yisur lo yachal. That's what Rashi sounds like for kachim also. That anytime I'm eating kachim, so that's an absolute antithesis of what the other person said. Somebody declared that this thing is also to be used. By saying something is hektish, that's another way of saying it's also to be used. So anytime somebody violates that, they're in violation of Lo Yachel. that has nothing to do with Isser Yachila, nothing. It's a different Isser Lagamis. Other Rishonim have a more down-to-earth Mokar for the Isser, not the Rashi Mokar, not down-to-earth. It's a little easier to understand. Some Rishonim say the Isser is learned out from Chet Chet Mitruma. Just as the Torah says, you're not allowed to eat Truma, so you're not allowed to eat Kachim, there's a comparison between the two. So there are some Rishonim who emphasize the Lashon Achila. Suffice it to say, again, we're not learning the whole Kachim Egla Rufa Mace, so you're right now. Suffice it to say, this suffix that Tosfos has in the first paragraph of Avodah Zarah, whether the Krobitz of Avodah Zarah is also in the Raisa Shalok Yederach, is far from resolved. Anyone know the Nafka Min Ladina? Does anyone know Nafka Min Ladina in this one? About Mace. Some wanted to argue in the Sugyas of transplants. Most of the time, a transplant is pikuach nefesh, leaving out the ritzich ishus. Let's say you take from a dead body. So most of the time, it's going to be pikuach nefesh, but not always. You can potentially want to transplant something that's make life easier for the person, but it's not necessarily life and death. So is that called a problem being nenem in a mace? Is that an issur deraisa being nenem in a mace? So some wanted to be matrit to call it. That's called hanor shelo kederach, which others responded, was that shelo kederach? Because maybe in the days of Chazal that was Shalok Yederach, but it was not as that. That's the only, probably the only thing you can do with Mason, is use them for transplants. So that's a hot topic, medical ethics topic. Okay, enough of that. Anyway, getting back to our story. So at the end of the day, Tosfos is really not sure. They throw their hands up and they say, when you walk into a store and start smelling things that are not over the rach, we don't really know. He said, on the one hand, the Gemara says you can't smell the flowers of Avodah Zarah. That, I understand, that's Kederach. Things that are not kederach, so maybe it's also midrabanan, maybe yim, maybe no, can't tell. Maybe it's an isur deraisa on those kinds of isurim that are shloka derech is not a matir. So you have to go case by case and see which those isurim apply to. But isur we're not sure about. Egel rufu we don't know. Mesi we don't know. Kasha we're not sure. So Tosfos has a lot of lack of clarity over here. Do you have any other rishonim weighing in on this topic? If you have something that shaloi kederach, is it mutter, is it also the smell? What's the din? So there's a Mordechai that brings a very, very fascinating raya, the Sugya Masechah Sukkah. There's a Gemara at the end of Masechah Sukkah that talks about if the person wants to smell an esrog on Sukkis, it means an esrog that you use for a mitzvah. So usually we have a rule, when you use something for a mitzvah, it's huktzul mitzvah, so you're not supposed to use it for private purposes. So the Gemara has the following. Let's say a guy shook the little of an esrog this morning. So his dalam minim now became off limits. So if he would want to take a bite out of the esrog today, that would be a problem. And the Gemara says, you're not allowed to eat the esrog. Take it, eat it tomorrow, we can't eat it today. But if you want to smell the esrog, that's okay. The Gemara says, right, it's mutter to smell the esrog. There's a machlokes at Rishonim about whether you make a bracha when you smell an esrog. Some Rishonim say you make a bracha, shenosin rech tova peiros, like any other nice smelling fruit. And the other Rishonim say that if it's an esrog shel mitzvah, so it's not really oimid l'reach, so maybe you shouldn't recite that bracha. So that's what the poskim write in Hilchos Lulav, that it's better really not to smell the esrog on sukkah. If you want to smell the sukkah, so you can make a bracha on it. If you want to smell it on sukkah, it's better to avoid it. It's the shah of a suffix brachas. So there are many people who think that part of the mitzvah of dalaminim is to smell the esrog. So that you should just know that's a suffix in Rishonim, a suffix whether you should do that, because you maybe become a chayiv in a bracha under something, but yeah, nothing. So let's see a guy in Misafik, he'll carry along another fruit with him and he'll smell the esrog also. Bottom line is the Gemara says it's mutter to smell an esrog, it's mukhtar, that's okay. In contrast, the Gemara says to smell hadas, and that's a problem. A guy made a bracha with a little bit of esrog this morning, and now in the afternoon he wants to take all these hadasim and make a beautiful something out of them and smell it now. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to do, because that's called huktzul mitzvah. So comes the Mordechai and says, so why the difference? By esrog, the Gemara says beferish it's mutter, but look at chiyuv. And by hadas, and the Gemara says it's a problem. What's the answer? So the Mordechai says the answer is very poshut. What's the answer? One is oimid l'reach, one's not oimid l'reach. So hadasim, what else do you do with hadasim? The best thing you can do with them is smell them. That's a normal use of a hadasim. And esrog, the normal use of esrog is to eat it, except for shaking hulv with it. Normally, it's a fruit. You eat it. You don't walk around smelling oranges or lemons. You don't walk around smelling a serogim. The meshugin who smells an esrog is mutter because it's shalai kederech. So the Mordechai says, that from though you see from here that not only is it mutter min atot, but there's nothing wrong with smelling things, even though it's also b'hano. You're not allowed to use something which is hutzul mitzvah. So hutzul mitzvah is also b'hano, not just nisr achila. Hara, you're not allowed to smell hadasim. So an esrog is mamish, it's also b'hano. It's hutzul mitzvah. And it's still mutter, presumably because it's called shalai kederech. So the Shach quotes this Mordechai and he says, the Mechilas covered this Heilige Mordechai, doesn't know what he's talking about. He says, it's against the Gemara. Gemara is black and white. Anyone read the Gemara in the end of the Sukkah? What does the Gemara say? The Gemara asks this very question. The Gemara wants to know, hey, why is it that you're allowed to smell an esrog on Sukkah and not allowed to smell hadasim? What does the Gemara say? Well, it's a totally different answer. The Gemara says that Hufzu Mitzvah means that when you set aside something for a mitzvah, so it's designated for a mitzvah, and its other normal things that you normally do with it are considered to be off limits. It has to be some kind of a demarcation. This is mitzvah oriented, not for regular consumption. So the Gemara says that when you smell when you use an esrog in the 8 o'clock in the morning to shake a woman esrog with, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if you want, you come and ask a shot, can I chop this esrog out, make it into jelly and eat it? So the answer is no, because that would be a violation of Hufzu Mitzvah. So if the guy says, okay, I don't want to eat, make it into jelly, I want to just smell it, so we'll say, okay, that's fine. You know why? Because we already declared that it was Hufzu. The use of Hufzu Mitzvah, so the Gemara says, is not something that offers all usage. Hufzu Mitzvah means whatever the normal usage is, in deference to the fact was used for a mitzvah, just be mocked and don't use it for your own personal things under normal circumstances. If it's something which is a little bit off the beaten path, and I already was yaitzed the din of being mocked at the mitzvah, so haray, I'm not making it to jelly. If I want to smell, the Gemara says, it's okay, Mashiach, ain't came by hadasim. If I tell you that it's mutter to smell, so how does the Hufzu Mitzvah express itself? What was the key? What was the fulfillment of the Hufzu Mitzvah? That you can't eat the hadasim. No one's eating hadasim anyway. So the Gemara says the reason why there's doing to the esrog and the hadasim is because the nature of the isser of Hufzu Mitzvah is such that it doesn't create an across-the-board isser. It only creates an isser. It has to be something. You have to make some kind of demarcation. This is not business as usual. So by esrog, that demarcation is made by not eating. By hadasim, that demarcation is made in a different manner. So comes the shach, and he says, from the fact that the Gemara didn't say the simpler approach, why don't I give this razzle dazzle shukot tarnachos mukta? Why did the Gemara just say one's amid l'rech, one's not amid l'rech? End of discussion. That one from Dad, that amid l'rech is not a matir. Ain't amid l'rech is not a matir. It's not an outright matir. Ain't amid l'rech is still a problem. Maybe not with the raisa, maybe with the rabbanon. Okay, case by case, but it's still there is no heter gomer just down to smell isurim. So when all the dust settles, we're not so sure you are smelling surim. The davar also by now, we would recommend not to smell. We would not advocate for smelling it. I, the Gemara that started the whole sugya of Reich, what was the first sugya of Reich? Reicha, I went by the Bastia. So the Rishonim already right there. That is different, Tosfos writes. There, the person's not even enjoying the smell. He's just putting his face into the thing. He's getting this big, strong whiff of wine. He's not walking away with a geschmack. He's walking away with a cloud of wine in his face. That's not that's not considered to be a reich shel hanah. But if you really truly like the smell, the guy walks into McDonald's because he really wants to smell the McDonald's, that's a big problem. Maybe by bas mechol, maybe a deraisa, if it's really also banah, and by other isurim, maybe at least it's going to be a derabanan. So we're not, there is no gemara. The Mordechai's rai is a very, very difficult. Anything that's a rai for kids, says the shach, so we're not going to advocate smelling things that are also banah. So most of us don't have this tremendous yetzer to walk around smelling your McDonald's. But every once in a while, we find ourselves in a situation where we're walking past something, and inadvertently, we're smelling it. Most common shalas on Pesach, we used to call this the Stella Doro shalas. When I was a kid, so I don't know if they still Stella Doro, does it still exist? They still make stuff? Okay, so the Stella Doro, the big Stella Doro factory in New York was in Riverdale. It was on the highway, on the Major Deegan, like 230s or so. When you drive past that, I don't usually take that highway anymore. Does it still smell? I don't know. And it used to be when I was a kid, you within 10 blocks of that exit, you knew you were in Steldora land. So the shaila was, when you drive there on Pesach, do you have to close your nose or not? Are you permitted to drive by and smell? So that's this whole sugya that appears in the Sefer Berachot Pesachim also. Those who missed the first two sugyas, this is the third one. The Gemara discusses what's the din in light of Dovah Shem Miskaven. The Gemara relates this to Rabbi Yudin and Rabbi Shimon, of not being Miskaven to smell. So in the middle of that sugya, the Gemara sounds like it's saying that if you hold the davar shemis kavod is mutter, so then that's going to be mutter also. If the guy's mamish going in there to smell, he dafka drives out of his way to go smell it, he's being mechavit to smell it, that's a big problem. But if he's not being mechavit to smell it, so we apostle Rabbi Shimon, davar shemis kavod is mutter, called tarakula, that's a Shabbos, called tarakula, it should be okay. So it sounds like it should be all right. The only problem is, there's a big machlekes that we shine him about what shaila. There's some factor that the Gemara doesn't mention in that sugya. Yeah, went up to secretion. Isn't it Moshe Rishon of secretion? Everybody knows that. Even Abai gave into that one eventually, right? After all those sugyas and shas. So at the end of the day, Moshe Abai Varava, Yamat Shavan, Moshe Rishon of secretion, what happened to secretion? So that's a machlokes of Rishonim. So Tosfos writes that Hachamais Kinesach are not of secretion. All those cases in the Gemara are not real secretions. And the Ran suggests that maybe secretion doesn't apply to Surya. No, secretion is only by Maisim. We spoke about this out list a little bit. So it's not 100% clear whether it would be mutter for a person to knowing full well that he's going to enjoy the smell, so even though he's not really planning on doing it, but he will be nana, Can he hide behind Davar Sheni Miskaven? Not 100% clear. So thus starts the chumrah of walking around on Pesach and breathing through your mouth. If you walk past the place, place that smells nice, so and it's real geshmak chametz smell, so maybe one can make a case to insist on doing that. And say about those. So if you put together what we're saying from the Shach, that is surah hanoah, even though it wouldn't be a deraisa here, because to smell good chametz is called, nobody lechetchila goes to these places to smell, so it's not called kederach hanoso. So and by chametz it says losh nachila, so the deraisa is not going to be, but it's going to be a potential derabanan. So then up sikresha of the derabanan. Ooh, not so far to the tradition, but orach. The nichle get very very happy. So there's what to talk about. But the bottom line is in Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach discuss the possibility of if it's something that's omid l'rech for sure being a problem. If it's something that's ain't omid l'rech, maybe a derabanan, and may even potentially be a deraisa depending on different kinds of
issues. Only should be like this,
no? If you're not in henna from it, then it's fine. It's a bad smell. Yeah, a bad smell. Okay. If you're not enjoying it, it's like a geshmak. If you're enjoying it, okay. All right, okay, good. I guess we'll stop for now. All right, hopefully, Mitzvah Shem. So we have Kuftes, everyone's up to us. So, Mitzvah Shem, we'll start a bit of a